Hello, everybody, and welcome back to MarTech Masters. Today, I'm here with Shane Murphy Reuter, Senior VP of Marketing at Intercom. Hi, Shane. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Great to be here. Excited to chat all things marketing.
That's awesome. Thank you for doing this. Wouldn't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your role is at Intercom and a little bit about Intercom so people know what it is? Of course, it's a big company, but tell us so people can get a little bit of the whole thing about Intercom and what it's all about.
Sure. Maybe someday when I've done my job perfectly, I won't need to tell anybody about what Intercom is. Everyone will just know it. But I recognize that still got a little bit of work to do there. So I run marketing at Intercom. I head up pretty much the most broad gamut of kind of definition of marketing that there is, like all the way from product marketing, pricing and packaging, comms, brand marketing, campaigns, demand gen, campaigns marketing. Like if it's related to marketing, I run it. And I'm about 15 years into my career now, and I've had the benefit to see many different types of companies from B2B to B2C and different types of marketing, from demand gen to product marketing, brand, as I said. And coming to Intercom was a really great opportunity for me to bring all that experience together. While we are a B2B company, we very much class ourselves as that kind of B2B to C. And so being able to have both B2B and B2C marketing skills has been critically important. And yeah, we think about marketing pretty end-to-end way at the company. So yeah, I've been here about 18 months and it's been quite the journey so far and very exciting. A little bit about Intercom. Most people probably know us as the little kind of what we call launcher in the bottom right-hand corner with the little smiley face on it. Intercom was launched the same year as Facebook Messenger and really was the first B2B solution, messenger solution for companies to use a messenger experience to talk to their customers. The early days is very much around live chat, talking one-to-one with your customers rather than doing it through email. And since then, we've kind of turned that launcher into a bit of a Swiss Army knife of different capabilities, from being able to send outbound messages, do product tours around the screen, automation technology to automatically answer the common questions. And then of course, live chat being the kind of the bread and butter that we've always had. We're just now north of $150 million in ARR. So pretty sizable for, I think, what maybe people would call a startup. And it's been an exciting 18 months.
That's great. So you guys call yourself a conversational relationship platform. And of course, conversational marketing, there are many companies, putting these topics out there and talking about what conversational marketing is and what conversational relationships are. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about conversational relationship, the platform itself, and also why are, creating conversational experiences, why is that important for businesses, especially B2B businesses?
Yeah, and given this is a marketing-focused podcast, I might get a little bit inside baseball on this one. Obviously, deciding what to call yourself is a very hot topic. And you're trying to balance, I think, naming yourself something that people can understand. They go, yeah, I get what you are. Often when you're down that end of the spectrum of defining how to describe yourself, you get comprehension, but maybe it's too narrow. Mm-hmm. So it'd be really simple for us to say, hey, we're live chat. People go, got it. Totally understand it. The problem with that is that it doesn't communicate anything about a benefit or future or whatever. And then you could go too far where you're really vague. And so we had a massive debate internally around sort of where to land on that one. So let me break. Actually, conversational relationship platform is very new. We rolled that out, I want to say 3 weeks ago, as the way that we're describing ourselves. And essentially, you mentioned kind of conversational marketing. There's also like conversational AI, this conversation mm-hmm. support. The term conversational is growing as a category, essentially to describe messenger-based experiences, where you will communicate with your customers through a messenger, which is on the website or in the app, as opposed to through traditional channels like maybe email and phone. Mm-hmm. And there's a big, I think if you look outside of B2B, You can see that trend happening with Slack, with between employees, and you can see it between human beings with the likes of WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger. Messenger experiences is just where the world is going. And so the conversational part of our conversation relational platform talks to that, that we were the company that invented the conversational movement when we invented the modern business messenger. And we want to stake our claim as kind of like owning that sort of growing movement. The relationship platform part hints at, we actually don't like the term conversational marketing. We do use it to describe one of our solutions because kind of that's how people understand what it is. It doesn't really communicate though the benefit to the customer or like actually what that thing is. It's actually talking about the buyer, right? Marketers buy conversational marketing. In reality, it's conversational sales for if you think about the definition of it. And the way that Intercom thinks about it is that you should apply these conversational experiences across the whole life cycle, from the second that somebody like reaches out to you on your website, all the way through to like onboarding them and helping them get started, through to like when you've got a problem, you know? And the thing that ties all of those things together is building relationships. And the power of conversation on the messenger-based experiences is ultimately that you create these great connections and relationships with your customers. And so we're a conversational relationship platform as a result. We believe in messenger-based experiences, and we believe that you should apply that across your whole relationship with your customer, from the first time that you see them across the bar to the, you know, you've had that first fight with them and you're trying to support them, you know?
That's awesome, because it's a great segue to my next question, which is, how can a company deliver that conversational experience throughout the whole journey, from, hey, I don't know what this is, I'm doing research, to I want to talk to someone in sales, to I'm becoming a customer, help me through the experience, to I have a problem, help me, right?
So, you know, I think I would say a couple of things. The first thing I would say is like, it's really important, I think, that you have that consistent experience. Because people have become known now that if you want to log into your account, you go to the top right. You log in. That's where it always is. We need to, if we really want to help our customers, we need to have a similar sort of like, I know if I need help at any time, it's just there. It's in my corner, right? And if you have, like, for some part of the customer journey, you have it there, and then some of it you don't, you're creating this really choppy experience. And so I think the first thing I would say is it's critically important, if you really want to do this well, to consistently have it there. Now, if you only think of the messenger as reactive live chat, right? So somebody has to have a problem to reach out to you, and then you can kind of answer it, whether that be through automated answers or through human responding, it's very difficult to use this as a way to kind of manage that experience across the life cycle. And whereas Intercom's messenger is much more than reactive live chat. We have the capabilities to do outbound messaging, to use data to target different types of outbound messaging in different formats, depending upon where the customer is in the life cycle. And so, you know, to answer your question directly, I would say the way that you use it across the life cycle is to think of it far more than a reactive thing that helps support. And to think of the messenger essentially as this like Swiss Army knife in the bottom right-hand corner, which can help send messages to the customer when they need it, right? Like, pointless noticing that somebody's having an issue or needs like a message and then sending them an email to their inbox and they got to leave. It would be like if I walk into a store, right, and I'm like looking around and I ask a question or they want to put an offer in front of me and they say, oh, go home, I just sent you something at home, like, go home, and they come back to us, right? That's like crazy, right? People want answers now. And so I think making sure that the power of that messenger is there, it's ready, and being able to use a combination of outbound messaging, which we all call proactive, to self-service, which is your automation to allow you to scale it, and then through the live chat, for the live chat we reserve for like the really high value conversations, whether that be a really important lead that comes to your website that you want to like proactively talk to, or it be a VIP who's having a complex problem in your app that you want to handhold through the resolution of that issue.
Yeah, and I love what you said about the consistent experiences, because at the end of the day, you don't want to be there when you're selling to them, but not there when they already became a customer or things like that, because again, that creates that separate experience from becoming a customer or trying to acquire you and things like that. But I also like your analogy to coming into the store, and that gets me to the next thing, which is, okay, if I'm coming into the store and I'm looking at you know, shoes, then the person is going to say, what can I help you with your shoes option? Or is this for a specific occasion? They're not going to try to sell me pots or whatever it is that's on the other side of the store. So you can actually customize the experience, the conversational experience, to where they are on the page, or if they are a specific type of customer, or if they are in a certain specific part of the journey, right?
Exactly. So like the way that we visualize our essentially our platform is that the top layer is the messenger, and that's what the customers interact with. Underneath that are a bunch of management tools that our actual customers use, the people who are like setting up the campaigns mm-hmm. or handling queries. And then underneath that is a CDP, which is capturing all of the data of where is the customer. It may be capturing, depending on how you set it up, actual product usage data, and also can suck in all of the data that you might have in other places like Salesforce, like Marketo or whatever. And so that mm-hmm. you can use all of this data to power, just like you would historically have powered sort of your email campaigns, mm-hmm. You can power the messenger in exactly the same way. And to your point, like the most sort of effective campaigns really not only use those different layers of like proactive sort of self-service and live human support, they are using all of their skills as a marketer to target it at the right life stage, right customer. To my point, like the experience that you'll give to the VIPs is likely very different to what you will give to some of the lower value customers. So you might have a lot more automated help there versus just let them straight through the live chat for the VIPs, for example.
That's awesome. So tell us more about how you guys can help and conversational marketing in general can help marketers to accelerate lead generation, because that's also very important and it really works. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so specifically on conversational marketing, you know, I think most marketers, particularly B2B marketers, know that there is a direct correlation between speed of follow-up, usually we call a follow-up, right, to when the customer has some sort of lead generation event, and then how quickly the sales team reach out.
Yeah.
But actually, if you think about that like traditional method, it's actually kind of crap, because firstly, you have to wait for the customer to trigger something like download a white paper or kind of sign up for a free trial and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Then you need to capture that. You got to pass the sales, wait for them to follow up, etc. Whereas with the messenger in the corner, you can trigger it based on on-site browsing behavior immediately, which is actually true intent, right? If somebody's on your pricing page, mm-hmm. fire it immediately. Say, hey, do you have any questions that I can help you with? And so really the benefit is you end up having a much higher conversion rate of your leads, mainly because number one, the speed to follow up is much quicker. Number two, the data that you're using to figure out should you trigger or not is more real time and actually more, there's a lot more color in it than did they just like download a white paper or not. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly is obviously that personal outreach, right? You can actually have a real person reach out to them. Now, a lot of people are probably scared saying, oh my God, we're gonna have salespeople reach out to everybody, right? But to my previous point, you can use data to identify only trigger a human if the company FTE size is above something. Mm-hmm. And if they aren't, what you can do is trigger a bot, which we call our custom bots, which will ask them questions to capture and automatically qualify the lead. And if it meets certain criteria, then get a salesperson to come in. If not, tag it as a lead and you can follow up on email afterwards if you want to.
That's great. So, you mentioned a little bit of the triggers. Can you have specific triggers like watch this video or things like that in the website or in the product, depending on what your triggers are?
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. I would say that in the product, if they're an existing customer, you can use a combination of their using user behavior, right? What are they looking at? What are they clicking on to trigger things? And then also all of the data that you have of them as a customer, right? FTE size, all that sort of lovely
That's
stuff.
Perfect.
As their conversation marketing, if they're coming to your site, we obviously integrate with third-party data providers into your Salesforce so that any data that you do have, you can trigger. But to be fair, when you don't know who they are, that data is often a bit more limited. But of course, we're limited in the same way as any other marketing technology company, you know, would be.
That's great. That's great. So you also recently launched conversational support funnels. Tell us more about that side of the business and how you help people with their support and the customer service side of things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we talked about conversation marketing, which is getting leads in. Conversational support is all about actually how do you support your existing customers. Mm-hmm. We recognize that one of the challenges with intercom is that people assume that we mean live chat when we say conversational. And so we wanted to create a blueprint for how the best, our best customers use intercom for conversational support. And we called it the conversational support funnel. It's kind of like the way that HubSpot did the flywheel thing, right? They were like, this is how you really do marketing. And we were like, this is how you really do conversational support.
That's great.
And effectively, it describes conversational support as a funnel with three layers. The top layer is proactive. So if you know that you're having like delayed deliveries or some sort of issue, you should proactively reach out to those customers and send outbound messages through the messenger to tell them when they're in the app so that by the time they experience that issue, they're like, I already knew about it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even before they know they have a problem, you solve it. Then some of the things, like let's say they've lost their password, they could have any issue that are kind of very common issues. You then have the next layer down, which is self-service support, where either a bot will answer the question for you or will direct them to an article that you've written on how to solve the question. And we find that actually most people would prefer to have their answer solved that quickly like that, and rather than have to talk to a human. So that's actually a great customer experience as well. It's very much like an ATM, right, for a bank. To get cash, you don't want to go and talk to the bank manager. You just want to get the cash, right? And then the third layer is human, which people know us for, which is like, if it really is like a complex question or complex problem, you can get it through to a human. And you can see, get a one-on-one relationship there. So like, for example, one of our customers, October, who are a European company, when they implemented the conversation support funnel, they cut out immediately 30% of their queries that were coming into them while maintaining 95% CSAT and their improving response time. So, 30%, if you think about the amount of like sort of, to a head of support, that's like meaningful impact and efficiency, right?
Definitely, definitely. That sounds great. And it goes back to the whole funnel, but not just the whole funnel, the whole buyer's journey from the marketing to the sales to the support and keeping that experience. I've seen sometimes websites that have one type of live chat on the website, and then if you become a customer, they have other types, and then that becomes kind of like a choppy experience.
Give me chills here. Stop. I can't.
Exactly. It keeps everything consistent and easier for them, the easier it is, especially if you can do it all online. If this is something that like SaaS that can be an online experience, that will make the whole process even better. Tell us a little bit about how things have been changing through the crisis. I know a lot of companies are adapting, and we always talk about that, how, you know, companies are trying to adapt to some of the changes. Also, we have talked through this series on how the crisis actually accelerated a lot of the changes in technology and is forcing us to live in the future, pretty much in the words of Mikita Mikado from Panda Dog. He said, we're living in the future. And I'm like, yes, we are. So tell us a little bit more about how you have seen some of these changes and maybe some of the long-term impact that you've seen from the crisis.
Yeah, so, accelerate changes is exactly the right way to describe it. You know, when Intercom was founded, it was founded on the kind of insight that there had been a trade-off in experience with customers and scale. So like the scale of the internet took off and that personal experience got really hurt, and tools like email tried to solve that issue, but they weren't good at it. And the reason the messenger was launched by Intercom was to try and give both a personal experience while also at scale to try and, solve that problem. When COVID hit, that just became the volume increase so many companies had of required support was out of control. Like a couple of stats here, one of our customers, AccuRx, had a 10x increase in the number of sort of support queries. Wow. CalFresh, who are like a food program, typically had 800 applications a day, we now had 10,000. And so huge increase in scale. And at the same time, people were hurting. They really needed a personal experience. These weren't like, when you're applying for a food program, that is a personal, like I've got a real issue. And so the expectations of experience also went up, really aggressively, and companies. And then add to it that like things like call centers just got started getting shut down. Yeah. You can't be in a call center during a pandemic. And so we've seen not only obviously increased adoption by new companies using Intercom like CalFresh and AccuRx, but also for many of our existing customers, depending upon obviously the industry, needing to very quickly adopt more of Intercom. So had they just been using it for live chat, suddenly they're realizing the power of the automation and the proactive, so that they can use that funnel that I described to, improve their efficiency. Like CalFresh essentially use bots to handle now a lot of the applications, so that they can achieve that sort of increased volume. So yeah, it's been a real, to your point, accelerator of things we've already believed.
Wow, that's awesome, that's awesome. I also saw that you guys offered free access to nonprofits. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that and how some of the companies are using it to help people?
Yeah, so we decided to offer free access not only to nonprofits, but basically anyone in the fight against COVID. So we actually have some companies who are for-profit companies, but set up some sort of like kind of side venture where they're trying to help people. Mm-hmm. And so like a classic example of that would be telehealth companies. Like we have a company called... AccuRx is a good example of that. We decided to give it away for free. I think it's one of those situations where corporate social responsibility is really important. And we tried, and again, this is a marketing podcast, so we'll talk a bit inside baseball, but obviously we had that kind of internal debate around like, would we publicize this or not? Like we didn't want it sound like the only reason we did it was for the comms, but we also wanted to make sure that people understood that we had it so that they would kind of in this catch 22, right? And so yeah, we put it out there with a blog post relatively quietly, so if there are any kind of people listening to the podcast who are in the fight against COVID, certainly reach out to Intercom and we can help.
We will definitely add it on the blog and in the links and everything to make sure that people know more about it. It's I understand there's a balance between telling everybody because you're excited to help, but at the same time, people will take it as a self-promotion. At the end of the day, if you're being human and helping humans, it's awesome, and people will definitely see through that. So we really appreciate every time we have companies that do that, we really, really like that. So now you've been also working with bigger and bigger companies nowadays, and you've been going through your own pivot in your strategy. Tell us a little bit more about that and how companies are deciding to work with bigger companies like you are working with Facebook, Amazon, Lyft, huge companies. How do you do that? And some of the tips that you may have for agencies or companies working with bigger organizations out there.
Yeah, it's pretty different. Like, and I think it depends what you mean by upmarket, right? Like Intercom have quite deliberately tried to avoid the huge knee jerk. We're going to go from like focus on startups to enterprise.
Yeah.
We're very much trying to take it one step at a time so that we can ensure that our product that we're building is incrementally moving us up market and still is fit for purpose for all of our customer segments. And so, yeah, you mentioned some of the brands that we're working with there, which are really the top of the spear. The main difference is that the buyer changes quite, not only the buyer, but like the buying committee changes quite a lot as you move up market. So one example would be when you're selling to a startup, oftentimes the user and the buyer are the same thing. Hmm. You start moving up market, they are totally different things. Like it's been some time since I've had my hands inside any marketing software. I shouldn't admit it, but it's true. I've not been in AdWords, I've not been in Marketo, but I'm the buyer, right? Like I'm the one who's actually signing it off. And so suddenly the buyer changes a huge amount, and you have to understand the needs of those buyers. Classic marketing, go understand them, their pains, their needs, and all of that, and market directly to them as a result. the likely biggest things that you'll find as you do that you need to change are, number one, like your go-to-market motion. Typically startups, when you're startup focused, you need to keep your cost to acquire pretty low. And so you kind of have this free trial, let them in. You know, sales is not warrant, like a very small company sales getting involved. As you move up market, it's critically important that sales are involved to help the market buyer truly get all of the value out of the product. And so you're likely to shift to much more of a sales-led motion. And Intercom, and you can kind of see it in some of our pricing and packaging, we're clearly on that shift towards there being a lot more sales consultative partner approach with the upmarket companies. That's and for the smaller ones, we allow them just sort of use. And then the only thing, you know, the other thing I would say is like the marketing channel approach, you're likely to move from sort of mass marketing type techniques to much more of an account-based approach where you know who the companies are that you want to sell to. And so you're directly marketing to them, whether it be direct mail, you know, digital advertising, the likes of LinkedIn, where you can target them directly, or even use my old company AdRoll to target with digital advertising, all of that. So the move from sort of mass marketing approaches through to like account-based direct marketing approaches is a big shift. So like those are probably the two big ones, of go-to-market motion and that massive shift to an account-based approach.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. Again, this has been great. What's next at Intercom and anything else you want to share? This is the last, you know, the last question is always anything you want to share, you know, anything self-promotional. We've already talked about the nonprofits, but whatever you guys have in for the future for Intercom, or you, if you want to share something, go ahead. And again, Shane, this has been awesome. Thank you for sharing all of this.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Gabrielle. You know, I think my main message next for us is like we are increasingly investing in the company and the product. We just announced a new CEO. We have a new CFO. We've broken 150. Like we're coming as here today. And those, you know, our revenue, et cetera, show that this trend is like in conversational, is going to continue to grow. And yeah, if you are a marketer or head of support, my big push would be try conversational and don't assume that it is live chat. Really understand the power of having a thing in the corner that can do all of this that I described. And adopt it. And you know, Intercom are increasingly investing in our capabilities to not only sort of improve the way that you're talking to your customers, but also the tools that you can use to manage that, like I mentioned, the CDP and all of that. And so, you know, a huge amount of opportunity to really revolutionize the way that you build relationships with your customers. So I would get out there, get on to intercom.com, and get in touch with us to give it a go.
That's awesome. Thank you, Shane, again, for sharing all of this, for doing this with us today. And we'll definitely put some links in here on the video and, of course, on the blog to share all that information about the nonprofits and also how they can get a free trial and get it going. Thank you, Shane.
Perfect.
And stay safe, okay? Take care.
Thanks so much. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Have a good one.
This episode of MarTech Masters was produced and edited by Nextany Marketing. To watch the series, visit our website at nextanymarketing.com. Subscribe to our channel to keep up to date with the latest news from our friends in MarTech Masters.